Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, we are always, as I tell you each week, a world at war. The Radio Barbarian is here, the only one on the radio who calls himself the Barbarian. So you know you're in the right place. On this show, we will have many great callers. We will discuss politics, current events, geopolitics, and everything is on the table. This show is the triumph of the will. And when they come, we will be ready for them. Rest assured. Well, this show is the counter network and the counter show to the largesse you see in the media. And it goes against the overall media narrative that they keep pounding into you and drilling into you daily, America. You know, the liberal, Democrat, Biden agenda, the narrative. There's many narratives that the media uses. They're against the suburbs. They hate the white European man. There's a war against men in America. We've talked about on this show before. There's a culture war. The Democrats love talking about culture, race, and creed, but how dare you bring up the same thing on the right? They love talking about that incessantly. Well, this is the epic episode 139, our show theme, The Return of the Jedi. They start date of January 26th, 2023. We are the new Jedi Knights in the realm, my friends. You are the new Jedi Knights of political America with a K. Never forget that. We will take calls, naturally. But tonight you're in for a very special treat. We have a VIP guest, Michael Deacon. Talk about him here in a moment. Great guy. Been friends for a while. He has a YouTube show, which is great. I also wanted to direct you to a website that we're building that right now has got some of my podcasts on it called SurviveMax.com. This has been a long project, lots of work. SurviveMax.com has got some news, conjecture. It's one more arrow in your quiver, Mr. and Mrs. America. One more resource, if you will, going forward in these uncharted waters that we all navigate daily, in this dumpster fire they call America. Now, we love the real country. We want America to do well. I don't want to misconstrue facts or lead people astray. We love America so much, we feel it's high time to criticize it and make it better. Any criticism you hear of our country only means that we want it to be better. We know that many countries beyond our shores are far, far worse than ours. Things are still pretty good in America. We will talk about that, as we often do. We like that. I've always told you, let's keep kicking the can down the road, because I'll tell you why. Though there are many that want things to implode yesterday, We need the time to get those paychecks, to get the monies to buy more preppy materials. Time is money. Time is of the essence. Many Americans are just now waking up, our brothers and sisters all over the land. They've got to work, produce. They gross X amount. The government steals from you in taxes. They get a paltry net check. With that, they've got to pay for eggs at $100 a dozen. That's a stretch, I know. Gas is going to be $5-$10 a gallon. It's already dropped a little bit, but it's going to go right back up. Homes have stayed up. They may dip a bit, but they're not going to crash because no one's going to sell their house for $25,000 to you millennials. Got news for you. Ain't going to happen. They're just not going to sell. All this talk about a massive crash may happen someday, but it would be preempted by probably a massive war, world war, or a nuclear bomb would go off somewhere in the world and implode all markets. Left and right, sideways, and in between. Now, you need the time to prepare and get ready. As many of you know, I am an Eagle Scout. Scout's motto is be prepared. I believe that. I am prepared. Getting more prepared daily. Don't blow your check, but start buying some things that you're going to need. Preppy materials, tools. How about an SUV that can get up the mountainside? Do you have a car to get out of town? Does it have a full tank of gas? Do you have hiking boots in case your car breaks down? Can you get across the deserts, the mountains and valleys of America on foot, like the pioneers? Do you have a gun or a big Bowie knife to protect yourself against animals, critters, varmints, or the highwaymen who will come out of the woodwork to rob you? Trust me. They have videos right now on YouTube that I've seen. These people aren't going to prepare. Our enemies are going to take from you because they know that you are preparing. Why should they do anything? Typical Democrat mentality. They say, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to take it from you. Surround your house. Barge in. Gunpoint. What are you going to do about it, Mr. and Mrs. America? You think about that. What would you do? Well, it may come down to survival. Right now, there's a chicken in, well, not every pot in America, but most. Cross our fingers, right? If you want a job, you can find a job. It may not be exactly what you want, but by God, there's everyone's hiring everywhere I go. You can find work. If you can't, move to where the jobs are. Get off your ass and do something for a change. In the real physical world. I'm just talking to you from my heart and mind, folks, telling you what I've told people, what I did myself back in the day. Get in position now. Don't wait. What are you waiting around for? Are you waiting around for another stimulus check that's never going to come? They're not going to cut any more checks for a while. So those of you in the Generation Z, millennials, you're sitting at home not working. You're all tapped out, I know. I think Christmas was the last hurrah for a lot of people economically. You're tapped out. You run up your credit cards, for God's sakes, at 30% interest. Don't move. Pay that crap off. Well, a lot of you won't. I predict a rising tide of personal bankruptcies, the likes of which this country has never seen, and company bankruptcies, by the way. Not going to leave them out. Those corporate bastards, they know who they are. It's all coming home to roost. See a lot of people shivering in the cold. My God, you're a grown adult. You never bought a coat? You still want to wear shorts and flip-flops every frickin' day in Arizona? People come here, it's amazing, they move here and they go, I want to wear shorts and flip-flops every day like a moron. You wake up to 35 degrees in Phoenix. It's 1 degree this morning at the Grand Canyon. You know how I know? I watch the weather report at 5 a.m. That's how I know. Flagstaff was 8 degrees. You live in the North Country, you're freezing your ass off. You live in Phoenix, we're not Florida, for God's sakes. This is not a tropical state. It's a Rocky Mountain state. Extremes of temperature. So all you grown adults, you look like fools, shivering, complaining about the winter. This is not Florida. It's not the Caribbean. Yes, we have heat in the summer, but the winters here get damn cold. Walk around like a moron, like a 15-year-old kid. It's amazing. Your whole family's shivering. You got money for, I see all these smokes, $7 a pack. Got the latest iPhone. I've got a 4-year-old droid phone, not the latest gizmo. You're driving a $50,000 truck, eating out every night, blowing your credit cards on God knows what. You can't even buy a coat for your damn kids. It's pathetic. What kind of a father are you? What kind of a mother are you? Bring your kids out at night, 45, 42 degrees, still pretty damn chilly. Your kids are wearing T-shirts. Can't even buy them a sweater at Goodwill. What kind of parents are you people? My God, I just walk around and just observe. Now, if you can't afford it, okay, but my God, you can afford a $50,000 brand new truck with all the latest gizmos. Probably got a $1,000 a month car payment. God, the latest new mags, the latest wheels, chrome, the latest everything, but you can't feed your kids or clothe your kids. If you're going to have kids, take care of them or don't have them at all. It's either one way or the other in my book, black or white. This is ridiculous. I see it all the time. Everyone's shivering in Arizona. I go, well, I always tell you we have a 3-4 month pretty good winter. This winter is a doozy for most. You're getting an education here out west. And those snowbirds who want to come down here and live like it's Miami Beach, it's not Miami Beach. If you want Miami, go to Miami, for God's sakes. Jeez. It's always 70 degrees in the winter in Florida, but not Arizona. We have 2 feet of snow that have hit Flagstaff, and I can't wait to get up there and go skiing here soon. I'm waiting for the roads to clear. I'm going to spend 3 days up there and get up on that damn mountain. I love fresh powder. Love the alpine. And skiers know to dress appropriately. You don't go skiing with your T-shirt, your flip-flops, your shorts, complaining about the weather. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to say the least. Well, enough of that. But you get the idea. You get the picture. If you want Florida, you go to Florida. If you come to Arizona, you better have a change of clothing. You're going to be cold, miserable. Don't forget exposure to the elements killed millions of people during the pioneer days worldwide. Still does today. It's called exposure. Well, we're so glad everyone's here tonight. Get off my little rant about the weather for a moment. We got a special VIP guest, as I mentioned, Michael Deacon, coming on. After that, we will take calls. Our great calls from our fantastic listeners at 563-999-3437. Let's get to this topic real fast. My monologue here, the classified documents. I told you before that I believe this is all a big setup. They're finding documents everywhere. It's all part of the plan. They're showing up at Dairy Queens in D.C. with Joe Biden's name on them. They're showing up at, you know, cattle ranches in Texas, storage units in Iowa, all over D.C., all over the homes of the president, his aides. What's going on here in my book? They're trying to take Joe Biden down. Democrat Party does not want Joe Biden anymore. He served his purpose, and they can't wait to get him to resign and then bring up Kamala Harris, a woman, by the way, quote-unquote, of color. She's female, a woman of color. She's not European white. She's Indian and Jamaica. Not really an African American, but she ingratiates herself to that crowd that vote 90% Democrat, not 95%, every election cycle, irregardless of what Donald Trump says. You know it's true. They know it's true. They want Harris as president. Be a big slap in the face of America, wouldn't it? Get the old white man out, kick out Joe Biden. He served his purpose. He played his part very, very well. Now the Democratic Party, they want to set him off in the sunset, get him on all these classified document charges, and show the country his hypocrisy about raiding Mar-a-Lago and going in after Trump. He'll have no leg to stand on. They're hoping that they can pressure him to resign, get him out of the way, give him a big payoff, exonerate him and his son, Hunter, from any criminal charge with a nice pardon or something of that nature. We know they won't do anything to them anyway because they're Democrats. But they'll get something in writing, probably sealed, secret. They will name the names and give them a clean bill of health. And Kamala Harris will be the president the next year and a half or two. Just my own theory. After watching this, it's just too obvious. They're such amateurs there in D.C., the deep state. In some ways, they're pretty slick, but this is so amateurish. Come on, box of the documents that were never seen magically appearing everywhere. Come on, guys. You weren't born yesterday. It's obviously, it's a front, it's a setup. Remember I told you, the government is nothing by accident. There are no coincidences in Washington, D.C. Everything there in the power beltway from New York City to Washington, D.C. is all contrived, planned, and executed. Nothing's done by happenstance. FBI agents, those agents don't walk into Joe Biden's home and just trip over boxes of classified documents and say, oops, call CNN. We found some more documents. Doesn't work that way. Not in D.C. They're trying to bring Joe Biden down. My theory, and I think I'm right about it. Because you notice that Kamala Harris has been very quiet about this. She's in the wings, waiting to be anointed, waiting to be crowned by the deep state. She'll be their lackey, their go-to girl. She'll follow orders. The dirt they've got on her must be amazing. That's how I see things going. Now, I'd be very, very surprised, put it that way, with all this going on, if Joe Biden actually fulfills his four-year term of office. One way or the other, take the hint any way you want. I just think it's improbable. And by the way, Donald Trump, if you're running for office, you're not doing a very good job of it. Where are the big rallies, man? What's going on? I hear all these, he's got negative press after negative press. Now, I know the media is all Democrat, but you also don't help the Democrats write bad stories about you either. He's not getting in front of the news. He's trailing the news. When you're a candidate, you want to get in front of it. That was a Vegas bookie, a mafioso there on the strip. The odds maker himself, I would say Trump's got no more than a 1% chance of winning the presidency. I'm taking bets. I clean up off all these Trump tarts that are out there who throw money at me saying, Vaughn, you don't get it. Trump's going to be in there again. Well, we wish Trump well on my show, but I don't see it. I love 2016 Trump. Man, I was on fire. And I accurately told everybody he would win. I told everybody that he would win in 2016, and he did. In 2020, I said he would not win, and I was right again. I don't see him winning in 2024. Just don't see it. Well, all that's going on in D.C. and elsewhere. The militia training never stops. It's ongoing against the many threats to our people and our way of life. I say carpe diem. seize the day. Roma victor. And in 1 minute, you will be ready. Like the Minutemen of 1776. Gosh, you know what? If you're in doubt about life or your job or just things in general, if you think about it, just roll the dice, Vegas style, baby. See what happens. Take some action. People are, you know. Works every time it's tried. If you fail, okay. You pick yourself back up, you try again. Keep trying. It's the American way. Sitting around and languishing in your pajamas in your apartment, whatever town in America, just praying for a Biden stimulus check to come in is utter stupidity. Well, a guy wrote the show, he was talking about this, and he goes, Vaughn, love your show. He said, just tell these Democrats to keep eating. He said, they'll die soon enough. I always encourage, he said, the stupid to Darwin themselves, just let their stupidity kill themselves. If we are patient, it may happen. We'll never clear out America with these people, but he goes, all I can do is protect myself and my family, and we'll watch. It's probably very soon our enemies will more than likely die at their own hands. Stephen, I love you, man. Stephen from Texas. Good one there. Good one. Well, the behavior of a lot of Americans doesn't really involve any morality. What they say or what they do is all in accordance with what will give them power at that very moment in time. They just say they do, in other words, whatever is, quote, hip and trendy, right? And if you will... Seconds later, a few moments, a new thing comes up, and later it can change in a New York minute due to a different goal of power or power as they see it. Then they'll latch onto that, like latching onto one dumb Democrat cause after the other, or one dumb Democrat politician, or Rhino for that matter, because both parties are complicit. And they have brought us to the brink of where we are right now. Well, in the Chinese New Year, it is the year of the rabbit, as we have told you on this show. It's time to be nimble and to be quick. We will be nimble on our feet this year. We will be sure of our every move. We will outthink and outmaneuver our many enemies this year and next. Jack be quick and Jack be swift. Is our future lay in the balance? There were 19 people shot in the California Monterey Park shooting and 10 dead. So I guess the year of the rabbit's not turned out so well for Governor Gavin Newsom of California. He had a few mass shootings out this past week. While that's going on, we have threats against our country. Daily, weekly. China sure has quieted down for a while. They were issuing one strongly worded nuclear threat against us almost daily. So is the Kremlin. But in the words of our gutless and ballless government, all they ever do is they'll say, they'll get some talking head out there, you know, in front of the news cameras, you know, Fox News and CNN and whatnot. And they'll say, well, I always laugh. I say, we're going to send a very strongly worded letter to that government official. Ooh, strong words. You're going to send a strongly worded letter while your enemies laugh in your face and stab you in the back. Great going, guys. Let's see how that works out for you, huh? Let me know. We're not going to wait around for you. We're prepping in the inside of America. In flyover country, we see all this going down, and we know something sooner or later is going to snap. It's going to break down. America right now is like an old used car. When it was new, it was beautiful, fast, full of testosterone, moving at the speed of light, shiny and new. What a chick magnet this country was. Now, America's like a broken down used car with two overhauled transmissions. It's still driving. It's still getting us down the road. But in the back trunk, we've got all kinds of baggage, all kinds of debt, illegal aliens, crime, gangs. The gang infiltration of America is amazing. And they say they don't want you to have a gun. Are you kidding me? We have cartels over here. And they're not just limited to the Southwest. They're nationwide. I don't care where you live. It's a clown show, clearly. Well, on top of that, there's all kinds of weather disasters. Is HAARP involved? You know, China also has had severe cold weather. They're off the charts. I wonder if that's going on. We know it's been around for decades. We hope America does well. We would love America to do a 180 and turn the corner. But as I've always said, we're like a big battleship in a small bay, trying to maneuver that beast around where we can sail out to sea again is going to be a bitch. Is America turning into a dumpster fire, folks? Or is it already on fire? What's going on out there? The news is so bad it's laughable. We have no leaders, I told you before, in America. We have our politicians. Big difference. Big distinction to make. Well, our newest country addition is Switzerland, the neutral country with all the cash and gold. Love it. We welcome you in the Swiss Alps. You are listening. And per our stats, our top countries that listen to this program are as follows. The United States. Here in Mexico, that's Estados Unidos, senor. Canada, of course. Thailand, number three. You're back. South Korea, and fifth but not least, the Empire of Japan. For our top five, three countries are in Asia. They're listening in on what real Americans think and say. And we have bases over there. We love our military men and women who are listening in. We know you can't call. It's probably against protocol. But if you can, try. Canada is now 2.10% of our radio audience, a whopping 2% plus for Canada in Trudeau land. Great. We love you, Canada. Good beer up there. Good people. Thailand is close behind at 1.96%. Those have to be CIA stations. They're in Bangkok, where expats from America and Canada. South Korea at 1.23%. We have bases there, of course. And it's growing in Japan. It's coming in at 0.70% as they close in like a Japanese zero on the 1% mark. Well, in the year of the rabbit, we must outthink and outmaneuver our many enemies aligned against us. It is said that all the world will be your enemy. You are a prince with 1,000 enemies. Whenever they catch you, they will surely try to kill you. First, they must catch you. Because this year, we are a digger, a listener, a fast and swift runner, and the rabbit prince above all. Be cunning and full of tricks and trickery, and your people shall never be destroyed. How about those apples? Well, George Soros, enemy to America, I spit on the ground he walks on. He's behind a lot of these chicanery. He's behind a lot of these dumpster fires and a lot of these, allegedly, of course, terrible elections. You know what I mean. Could be fraudulent if it's proven, of course. We are watching it all unfold and burn around us. And I sense that our forces, my friends, are rising. In mythology, the goddess Hope had 2 beautiful, gorgeous daughters. Their names were Anger and Courage. Anger at the way things are currently, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are. For I've told you once, I'll tell you again, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against demonic dark powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12, and damn them all. Always remember, my friends, that God will judge our enemies, and we will arrange the meeting. We are the doctors. These mass killings in California done by old Asian men. Wow. Crazy stuff, huh? I told you, I guess the Chinese year of the rabbit's not getting off to a great start. I thought California had strict gun laws to prevent these kinds of things under their Democratic leader, Gavin Newsom. Now, here's a hard pill to swallow, America. I know you're out there. Not my audience, but they're out there. I put it that way. Just because you're unattractive and have no friends doesn't mean you are another gender. Think about it. And never forget also, America, that Democrats cheered the rioting in many American cities for 6 to 8 months before they were outraged. But the January 6th event, they were just so outraged, right? I say, please, Democrats, save your outrage for someone who really cares. Because everyone knows you're just virtue signaling, bluffing. How many people have to die suddenly is my question before it's no longer a freaking conspiracy theory. What do you say, America? Unbelievable. Well, are you in for a treat tonight? Folks, we got a great show for you. Our VIP guest tonight is a great radio host named Michael Deacon. He hails from Southern California. His exact whereabouts will remain top secret, undisclosed. Michael and I are friends. He's a longtime radio enthusiast, and Michael's broadcast style has been shaped and influenced, just like mine, by a number of classic talk shows over the years. Michael was a producer for Build Liberty Radio, hosted by John McAfee. You can always hear the Michael Deacon program on weekdays live over on YouTube. His last name is D-E-C-O-N, Michael Deacon. Check him out. I have a great show. Love it. The show is available as a podcast. Can be found everywhere podcasts are heard. He's often seen hanging out in the deserts west of San Diego, possibly, in his home studio or in the L.A. area or even possibly on the beaches somewhere on the beautiful California coastline. I need to visit him there someday. Well, without further ado, I now bring you another infamous and rogue VIP guest of the Von Wiegand Show, Michael Deacon. Let's bring him on for the green room. Get him on board.
Get him on board.
Michael Deacon, are you there?
Michael Deacon, are you there?
I'm here, live and direct.
How are you doing tonight, man?
Can you hear me? Oh, you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was just a little bit worried there. I thought there was some delay there. And, Vaughn, I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited to be here. I can't believe it's finally happening. I know I have been meaning to come on here for a long time now, so I'm glad to finally make it happen. And first and foremost, thank you so much for sharing the air with me here, or letting me talk to your audience, rather.
I love it. I can't wait. We've talked about this for a while.
Right.
And people will know that I've been on the Michael Deacon program before, and they can find those episodes. I think we have a bit of an echo here. Is your radio on?
No, it's not on, actually. I'm not sure why it's doing that. I'm so sorry. I have no idea why there's a bit of an echo there.
No problem at all.
I
think we kind of fixed the glitch here. We'll keep working on it. Well, you start talking while we're doing
this.
Tell us about yourself a little bit more to the audience, the Von Wiegand Show, and what you've been up to.
Well, I have been doing this show for a very, very long time, longer than I can even remember. It's been a little bit before 2012. So it's been a hell of a long time, a hell of a journey. And, yes, you mentioned Build Liberty Radio. You know, I was the producer for that show for a very short time with John McAfee way back in, I would say, 2015 when I took on that task. And, you know, I've been doing the radio show, doing the podcasting, and for a short time I was on terrestrial radio out by the Hudson River. And sure enough, Vaughn, it was a pirated radio station, unbeknownst to me, I should say.
Love that. Well, you've been doing a lot of things on your show. Tell our audience what kind of guests you've had on and your format and how you broadcast. And it's fascinating stuff. I want our audience to hear about it.
Yeah, no problem. The show is a little bit satirical, a little bit serious. It's a mix of things, to be honest with you. You know, you do want to entertain the audience as much as you can and bring them in, but you also want to be serious and hit them with the facts, you know, while they're having a good time. And that's kind of what we bring on the Michael Deacon program. And I talk about pop culture. I talk about conspiracies, basically everything under the sun. And I present it in a very professional way, but in a very fun way, a very amusing kind of way that will hopefully drag your listeners in. And my God, so much has been going on, Vaughn. I have no idea where 2023 will take myself and the rest of the world. And, of course, I love America. And, Vaughn, I have to say, I'm from California, and I apologize for the way my state really handles things out here. I mean, we are literally with lots of crazy Democrats out here, but regardless of that, this is still one of the greatest states in the country.
Yeah, I love California. I've told my audience that many times before. I grew up out there in Sacramento and Anaheim. I had relatives. I still do have relatives out there and friends, as you know, and it's got a lot going for it. It's a beautiful state. I want California to be like it was when I was a kid, truly the golden state. You know, now it's got places that are not so golden, right? I mean, you drive in L.A. freeways, you see homeless encampments everywhere. A lot of crime is in Arizona and elsewhere. But what do you see as the future of California?
Well, it's looking pretty grim. I got to be honest with you. Speaking of L.A., you know, we do have Skid Row, which is the worst place on earth. You don't want to go there, boys and girls. It's the real deal. You will get mugged out there. You can possibly get raped if you are a woman out there. Women, beware. Don't go out there. Skid Row, don't look for it. Don't even get near it. The homeless people are insane. They are worse than those in San Francisco, as I like to call it. But, yes, California, great place. Great place, but, of course, we have our faults, though, sadly. And, of course, Gavin Newsom doesn't help any more or any less. You know, he's just another one of these people like Dr. Fauci, like Bill Gates. Another crazy, wild, rich person running loose.
No doubt. Yeah, Gavin just loves to point at the camera, doesn't he? He points and he just likes to judge his state, and he judges everybody, and he never has any solutions to I can tell him on some kind of an echo here. I'm not sure if it's your system or mine.
Let's
try to minimize it as best we can for our audience. As I always tell folks, this is pirate radio. We never know what's going to happen.
We never know what's going to happen.
Or the transmission that we try, right?
Yeah, you never really know what's going to happen. And unfortunately, we are having some audio difficulties here. There is a bit of a delay here. But I think it might be clearing up now. Now that we're talking more and having this discussion, I think it might have sort of cleared away.
Let's hope those evil spirits go away in the tech center and where we can talk. But if they hear an echo, I would say this. My audience has heard more worse before.
I really hope it's not coming from me.
Yeah, it's coming. You know, it could be more electronic harassment on the show from the federal agency. We usually get these kinds of electronic weird things happen from time to time.
Yeah, I can definitely hear that right now. We definitely are breaking up a little bit here, but that's okay. It will happen eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us, let's get back to you for a moment here. It'll sound better, if I think, on your end when you talk. It's coming through much better. Tell us what guests you've had and what guests you've got lined up for your show.
Well, just last, a few days ago, I should say, the last show I had was with Ole Damegaard. And he's fantastic, by the way. He's a whistleblower of sorts, and he's someone that talks about false flag operations that happen all around the world. A very, very informative sort of individual, and he's an international speaker, lecturer, all that sort of, all that jazz. He's a great guy, great human being, and you can check that show out. That was the last show I did, and it was only one day ago, rather. It wasn't a few days ago, but I bring in all kinds of walks of life. I mean, I've even brought on a sanist named E.A. Coetti, who was sort of having the fingers pointed at him for a murder, saying that he was allegedly, you know, he's the one responsible for it, which is kind of insane. Go check that out. That was maybe like 2 months ago. And, you know, I bring in all walks of life. It doesn't really matter who they are, as long as they have a very interesting story. And of course, as you know, everyone has a rather interesting story, but it doesn't just stop there. I mean, I've even had on Ingrid Newkirk, by the way, for those who don't know, that's actually the co-founder of PETA. I have no idea how they found the program, but I went ahead and just interviewed this lady. I'm not a vegan or anything like that. So it was pretty fun. It was a fun show. Opposing views.
Love that.
Love that.
Yeah, I think the echo, it's minimizing, but I still hear it. Do you have anything on in the background? Is the show running on a different PC or something?
Yeah, kind of, hold on. Let me check something really quickly here, and I'll see if I can fix this. Hold on. Don't worry.
You bet.
All right, I'm back.
Much better. Oh yeah,
that better.
That's better. Was the show on in the background or?
No, I was actually hooked up to a computer system here, talking to you through the internet. Unfortunately, so now I got rid of that. So hopefully it worked
good.
A lot better.
Yeah, this sounds. You sound better already. I can't even hear the echo now, which
nice.
Is great. Okay, now we're communicating a lot better. Fantastic.
Nice. Okay.
Well, Michael, I want our audience to know that, you know, you and I have been talking for, you know, several years now, and I've enjoyed your show immensely. Again, I want everyone to check out the Michael Deacon Show on YouTube, D-E-C-O-N, say spell his last name. He's got a very hip show. It's it crosses a lot of boundaries, just like mine. I think you and I both leave nothing off the table. Everything is fair game on your show. You've had some very interesting interviews with people. And like my show, we have got a pretty lively chat room going on now on Blog Talk Radio, which is, by the way, the biggest internet radio station in the world. Your chat room on YouTube is very lively. Now, when I was last on your show, there were a couple, I think one lady who didn't like me, which is pretty funny. So I think I insulted her. So if she's called back, tell her that we're sorry. And if we offended her, we probably meant it at the time. But I hope she's back because she was pretty spunky, but I kept messing with her. I think I told her that she was in transition or something.
Oh, I have no idea.
I wasn't sure
about
if
that. Well, Vaughn, that's like every other episode. There's always a number of people that are not going to agree or like anything that me or you say. And if we offend them, I think that's fantastic. I mean, that makes them think even more. Or it will send
that's
them
right.
into a downward spiral, which is also fine with me.
Exactly. I was hoping she would go into some kind of a downward spiral. I mean, this is the Equal Opportunity Offender Show. And your show is the same.
Right.
I mean, if you aren't offended, I'm not doing my job the way I look at it. I'm supposed to provoke some thought and offend people. And we have a thick armor on this show. But I get a kick out of people even calling my show. They email me at vonweehanshow@gmail.com. And they'll say, you know, your last caller offended me. And I'll just write back and go, F you. You don't like it? Go somewhere else. We're not looking
That's
for the
right.
biggest audience on my show. I'm looking for the best audience. And by the way, we're nationwide, as you are. We're now in 28 countries. And, you know, 10% of my audience is international. And always has been. And growing. What are your stats for your show? And what's going on with it? You know, because I know you got a really big YouTube presence, man. Tell us about that.
Well, I think the last show I did on YouTube has a little bit over 4,000 views, and it's only been one day. The podcast raised quite a few numbers, at least more than 50,000 downloads per month easily. So it's going pretty good, to be honest. A lot of people have found the show. I've been on a number of terrestrial radio shows. I've been invited to be on Coast to Coast AM. A lot of people found me when I was on Coast to Coast AM, and it's quite sad what that show has become, to be honest. You know, I was a huge Art Bell fan, and, you know, I've met George Norrie. I've talked to John Bewell. I talked to a lot of different people, a lot of people that host that show, and, you know, they've been wanting me to host that program, but I seem to have a certain beef, as they call it in the streets, with a certain producer over there named Tom Danheiser. Damn, and he's been, you know, I hate to say this here on your show, and drag him, you know, through the coal here, but he's someone that sort of stonewalled me and sort of, you know, badmouthed me to the corporate executives out there. So, you know, I had my shot, but I burned bridges, unfortunately, with these people. But, you know, that happens in the biz.
It does. It does. Yeah. And when were you on the Coast to Coast program?
I was on back, I would say, 2017.
And what did you talk about on the Coast to Coast show?
Oh, I was just promoting the program, really. Norrie wanted me to talk about the show briefly and just plug it in. Of course, he asked me a few questions. And this was during, I forget exactly what time it was, exactly, like what was going on in the news. And he asked me about it, and I just sort of answered it, and we kind of just moved along. The whole call was maybe less than like 10 minutes, to be honest, but I gained a number of new listeners doing that show, which is cool.
Oh, I bet. That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. What would you say, Michael, because we've spoken on the phone before in Facebook, in chat rooms and whatnot, and it's a blast talking to you. When I get out to California again this spring, summer, we need to meet up, have a cerveza or two or three, as they say, and talk about the future and things. But what would you say, who you met in the industry as radio personalities or anybody else who's been a big influence on the Michael Deacon program?
Well, there hasn't really been a influence per se, but I have met people that have been really cool, and one of them is Dean Ryan. Dean has worked for people like Alex Jones. He's worked for Coast to Coast AM. He's worked for John B. Wells. He's worked, I think, even for Clyde Lewis at one time. And, you know, he's been around the business. He was friends with Sean Stone. He did some stuff with him. He's done stuff all over the place for many years. And Dean, to be honest with you, has been the coolest person in the biz so far. And, you know, he's someone who's actually tried and is trying currently to help me out in any way he can. And, you know, I really appreciate that sort of thing, because not many people really are that way in this business. It's a very cutthroat business. And, you know, not everyone gets along just like anywhere else. But you should hear some of the things that I know about some of these individuals. And I won't get into that here. But let's just say a lot of people in the radio business are not exactly who they say they are. Big surprise, right?
Exactly. Well, I can't wait to hear about that when we get off of the air. Because one thing I like about your show that I noticed right away, as well as my show, and we're congruent in this respect, that as I tell folks, you know, Michael, I've got there's no program director telling me what to say. There's nobody jumping up and down in the, you know, behind the glass wall there saying you can't say this, you can't say that. I'm not beholden to anyone. I could have had a few sponsors the last year or two. I've been running the show myself in the studio here, but a few of the sponsors said, well, if I cut you a check, I want to say in what you say. And I go, it doesn't work that way, buddy. You pay a check in good faith, and you need to trust me, and I don't take marching orders from donors. I'd love to have you, but that's why I've always been independent for the most part. If a sponsor doesn't want to play ball with the studio at Valhalla Studios here where the Von Wingen Show is airing, I can't be dictated to by people on the street like that about content, about commercials, or if they don't like a promo that I'm doing, or if we have too much talk or too much of this or too much of that. You know, a lot of talk shows, unlike yours and mine, you're lucky, I tell the cards, if you get on for a minute, they cut you off. And the minute you go down that limb, right, and they talk about anything controversial, they pull the plug. Sorry, kid, you're going too far. You're going beyond the RNC talking points. Right? But you interview people at length on your show.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Long form interviews, no doubt, is what I enjoy doing. And like you just said right now, you know, once you go off the path, they get rid of you. But the thing a lot of people fail to recognize is that lots of shows that these people like, the whole thing is scripted out already. They're always pre-planned questions. And, you know, I don't really like that sort of deal. But that's not the way radio works these days. You know, if you are on one of these huge shows on terrestrial radio, everything word for word is already sort of written out. And, you know, I don't like doing those kind of shows at all. Kind of whack.
I don't either. You know, they're all scripted. And, you know, I always have some notes before the show, but I speak mainly from my mind and from the heart. A lot of this stuff I already know, I just spout off. I'm just talking to probably millions of people, as you are, and like right now, I'm talking to you. There's no script at all. We're just talking. Just a conversation. And this kind of radio is gold, but the powers that be don't like it because they can't control it.
No, they don't. That's the problem, you know. Once corporations have become bigger than government, that's when you really should start worried. And corporations obviously own the radio and television, everything that we consume, it's all rigged, and it's all rigged in this fake world. That's what you need to remember. And I'm sure your audience already knows that.
They do. And one thing they like about me is they know that I am the host, I am the program director, I am the studio owner, and I wear many hats, but I do it all. I run the studio board. I have an assistant from time to time, as you do, but basically, and while we have our tech wizard, Irish Pirate, who definitely helps out the show and people of that tech know-how, but beyond that, there's no one telling me about content. And one thing I like about your show is that your content goes on its own tangent, man, you know, which is
the way
radio is supposed to be.
Right. We keep it pretty organic. Anytime you hear the show, it's authentic. It's real. It's not scripted. It's none of that goes on my show. It's all organic and free-flowing. And, of course, people get involved. They could call in. People are in the chat room going insane. People saying that I should die or the guest should die, that they hate everyone in the chat room. I mean, it's incredible, really. People online are like animals, you know, and you know, I love it all.
They are.
I love it all. I love that energy, you know. I don't mind these sort of things. I'm glad people have such an emotional response to the program. That's the point.
That's right. Well, I approach it the same way. When I was at KFNX here in Phoenix, I always try to entertain, inform, and lastly, educate maybe a few people that were out there. Or maybe tell them something that they did not know before. But the first thing is entertainment, because you're not going to bring in a radio audience without some entertainment. And we poke fun of both parties. I poke fun of all the pundits in D.C., on TV, et cetera. You know, our talking head media is pretty powerful these days, but the people tune in to radio. I mean, I go back on this show, for example, I see the podcast hits that are registered all over the world. They don't catch the show live, but by God, they'll be in there Monday or Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning in Romania or New York or Chicago or Japan or wherever, pulling down the podcast. And we can tell how many minutes they listen to it. Most hear the whole thing. So I tell people, if you want to be world famous, call the Michael Deacon program or the Von Wehen show with a large audience. And you'll be famous. They'll eventually know who you are as a caller. Now, on your show,
that's right.
Do you have some regular callers?
We do have some regular callers, yeah, unfortunately. I say that in a, you know, a playful manner, but there are people I do call time and time again. We have our friends from Canada and, of course, the UK. A lot of these individuals listen to the program. As you know, we are on the Internet, so that gives a bit of an opportunity for those international callers to chime in and hang out with us. And, you know, I got an audience in the UK, which is pretty random, you know. I didn't expect anyone listening all the way from the UK to a show that's based in California, of all places, you know. The Fallen State, California.
Right. You know, to go back up here, California is one of my most favorite places to vacation at, being right next door to California and Arizona. I mean, I love going up to the north and the south and all of it. There's so many cool things to see and do out there, and still are. California gets a bad rap. There's still a lot of great people out there. And I always tell people there's a lot of patriots that live out there. What you hear in the media is constantly the Democrat drumbeat, you know. But there's a lot of people like us that live out there. Good people, you know, people that aren't really affiliated with any one party per se, but just are rational and approach things from kind of a rational point of view. And I'm a pragmatist when it comes to politics. I like what works, you know, and it's really refreshing when I go out there. I have friends that live all over the LA area and San Diego, as you do, I'm sure. And, you know, and I talk to them and they go, man, you wouldn't believe what's happening. You know, and this, and I get all the local news, the scoop, you know. And Flower Country is where millions of Americans live, and they get the short end of the stick constantly from the powers that be. And they're tuning in to shows like mine and yours daily, checking it out, because they know they're lied to, you know, on all fronts.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I wish they could be closer to the beach You know, as you know this very well, you know, all the most beautiful people go closer to the beach and the rest go elsewhere.
Yeah. I will say, you know, you go to California during the spring, summer when it warms up. It's amazing. You sit out there for hours.
Oh, yeah.
And you see a lot of good sights. That's for sure.
That's right.
Well, see, last year I went up to Northern California and I went in the Redwoods, as I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years. And it's a whole different theme up there in the north part of the country.
Yeah,
Northern California is like a whole different state. Yeah.
Yes.
I think you're ready for Red Dawn Invasion, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. The higher you go up, the crazier they get. At least
that's right. That's what I like.
I mean, I like it, too. There's some people, you know, that are a little out there in Northern California.
True. And left, right, and indifferent. I mean, you'll have your left-wing nuts, your right-wing nuts, your independent nuts, whatever. It's all over the place. It's fun. It's funny as hell.
It is. You get a mixture of everything, and that's the great thing. And unfortunately, like you were just saying, the Democratic media, you know, they like to paint California as a super liberal place, and it is to the most degree. But there's lots of places out here where we do love our freedom, and we're not bending to the knee of the radical leftist party out here.
Right. Well, I noticed on your show you've got Mike Hideous, and he's sort of not really a co-host, but he comes on as one of your guests once in a while. What's up with him?
Well, actually, he is kind of like, he pretty much is the co-host, the unofficial official co-host.
Yeah, okay,
really.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, he's definitely in the game. But, you know, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. He's kind of busy with his other job. But I do pay the guy, you know, for being on the program. So he can't exactly quit either. So I kind of entrapped him. You know,
right.
I do pay him. So he can't go anywhere.
Good. What about now? He has a rock and roll background, right?
That's right. He was part of the Misfits way back in 1999, I would say, or 98.
He had kind of a big following for a while.
Yeah, for a while, the guy is a legit rock star. You know, he was pretty big time, but he was also known for having a goth band called the Empire Hideous out of New York, and he was big in the goth scene. And for a long time, he was actually a Democrat for a very short time, and then he saw the light. And, you know, he was a Republican for a while, and nowadays he's sort of lost trust and faith with our government, which is not a hard thing to do, which is very believable,
right,
especially knowing that this is a rigged sort of fake world that we live in, that, you know, it can be argued that every important institution in America has been sold out, corrupted and politically rigged to favor big government, big business, big pharma, big brother, you know, all these sort of things. And it's rather unfortunate, really, where America has gone wrong. You know, I love this country. I still believe it's the greatest country in the world. That's why there's so many illegals that want to come here. You know, it's no big surprise. You know, everybody wants to live here. Yet the rest of the world loves to talk shit about America. I don't know if you could say that on the show.
You can. Yes, we have no censor here.
Okay, great.
No censor at all.
Great.
Yeah, it's fine, man. Great.
Very cool.
You're in the Von Wien show.
Yeah.
You're in the Radio Octagon where we call the shots. No program director, no censor, no government goons coming in. Thank God. Can't stand those idiots. It's morons.
I can't either.
But now I wanted you to elaborate a bit on Mike Hideous, because I know some folks in our audience might not know about the Misfits or his goth band or his co-host of yours.
Yeah, I digress there. You know, it's just so much has been on my mind about what's been going on in this country. I'm sorry I jumped off track there, but yes, Mike is a very important asset to the program, a Democrat turned Republican. And through the show, you know, he was never really into the whole conspiracy theories of such. You know, I've brought in lots of big name people in that field. And the guy's been sort of red-pilled, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Mike Hideous, I've talked to him before on your show before. He's great. Very interesting guy, very articulate. Good guy, and he helped you. You're the main star attraction, but I think he is a good sidebar to you. You know, he chimes in at the right time and knows what to say. He's very quick, and that's good. Quick on the draw, as they say.
Yeah.
But when
he's
I was
fun.
Coming up,
he's
fun. Yeah, he's a fun guy. You know, when I was coming up, I heard a lot of the Tom Likas show, who I love the Tom Likas show. He used to broadcast here in Phoenix, of course, all over the Los Angeles area. Art Bell. When I was a kid, I used to love hearing Art Bell at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. This is Art Bell,
right.
Coast to Coast. You know, that very deep, melancholy voice. Almost, he sounded like an MK Ultra radio host, Art Bell. The Coast. I love that guy. And then, you know, there's some other people that have really big, like, an influence on me, and I'm sure you as well. What influences, if any, are out there today, which is kind of a hard stretch, but who's out there today that you like to listen to that you think is interesting?
You know, that's a very hard, that's a hard question to answer, to be honest. I haven't really heard too many people that are on, well, you know, you said radio, and in terms of terrestrial radio, I would say none. There's no one on terrestrial radio today that is any good. You know, I think a lot of these radio hosts, they stink on ice. They're following a structure that's archaic. It's a thing of the past. It's a relic of the past. Radio is a relic of the past. And, you know, the future is online really now. No one in radio is any good. I got to be honest with you. I don't have any respect for any radio host that's on terrestrial radio today. They're just all fossils that are slowly dying out.
Well put. I couldn't agree more. There's really no one that I listen to. That's out there. I mean, I turn the dial and check it out. And George Norrie does a pretty good job on Coast to Coast. What's your take on him and his current show? You said that you weren't overly impressed
No, not at all. It's a terrible show these days. Unfortunately, he's kind of just phoning it in, you know, to be honest. He's just showing up, punching in, punching out, trying to get to that 2 a.m. time from 10 to 2. That's just what he's trying to do. When Norrie was really good was way back, I would say, 2002 to about 2015, I would say, is that's when he was really hitting his peak. He was doing a great show at that time. But once he was able to take over the big chair, he just sort of got lazy and got old. You know, he's been there for a while now. He was supposed to retire.
Right.
And he never did.
Right.
And now I think he's probably just going to die on the air, which is pretty crazy, man, in my opinion.
Hopefully not, but that would be another Coast to Coast episode later. I get a kick out of
it. That
would be great radio ratings. Oh my, that'd be wild, man. George Norrie, I get a kick out of his show Coast to Coast still. I've never met him personally, but I agree with you totally. I think his peak was several years ago, and he still runs what I call, quote unquote, a decent show. I wouldn't say it's a great show or stellar, but it's a decent show. I get a kick out of his UFO callers and, you know, the hillbillies from Flyover Country that call in and, you know, that act crazy, and he has that wild card line, you know, line still. It's pretty good. So for that, that's why I tune it in once in a while in the early morning hours.
Right. Right. I mean, what else is going on at 10 p.m. at nighttime? You know, not much else is going on, you know.
Unless you have a hot date or you're drinking shots at the beach bar there somewhere on the California coast, right?
Right.
I mean, that's always fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the last time I went out to the southern part, I love that San Diego to Carlsbad stretch I told you. It's got San Diego, La Jolla, and Carlsbad. A lot of things to do around there. A lot of little nooks and crannies, places to hide.
Yeah, I like that.
San Clemente.
That's a great.
It's more my style. San Juan Capistrano. It's a lot slower than L.A. Not that slow, if you know what I mean. It's got a lot going on.
It's a lot better.
It's better.
Oh, yeah.
Less crowded. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my target market. I might start in Newport Beach, then I go down the coast. And I can get from my driveway to Newport Beach now in 4.5 hours. Not bad.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Tall and ass across the desert, my friends. Like me, I had done it before several times. Be at a beach bar, leave here at noon. I'll be opening up a beer at a Newport Beach bar at 4:30. Yep, like clockwork. Because I'm sailing. Once I start moving, I'm moving groove fast. And I'm passing cars. I pass far, far more than I follow. If you're not stepping on it, I'm going around you. That's how I drive. Try to fly below radar at the same time. You got to be careful, you know.
Right. You got to be careful, though, out here. You know, we have lots of bad drivers. Depending on where you are. You get the worst ones more in L.A. in the Monterey Park area, if you know what I mean.
I do. I do. Totally, man.
Oh, yeah.
Tragedy,
right.
Man. It's tragic. I mean, you know, we all knew they couldn't drive, but now they have this terrible tragedy and shooting. And, you know, of course, they always blame the gun. Like, guns as inanimate objects have a mind of their own, and the gun one day decides, I'm going to go in that dance hall and shoot people up. Doesn't work that way, but, you know, they always blame the gun, never the guy that pulls the trigger.
Isn't that crazy, though, Vaughn, that, you know, we're seeing these, and no offense to, you know, people out there that are Asian, but it's crazy that we have these strings of shootings recently here in California with elderly Asian men. I mean, that's the most unusual sort of thing I've ever heard.
In a week. And they're supposed to be happy. It's the year of the rabbit. It's the Chinese Lunar New Year, for God's sake. This is when they're supposed to be partying their asses off. I mean, I would think they'd be getting some old Asian tale at the local Asian bar, the dance hall. The guy could have went to the dance hall, found some nice Asian ladies to hang out with and party with. I mean, no, he goes in there with a damn gun, shoots the place up.
Insane.
The maniac. This is their big celebration. Crazy.
Ooh, yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing in the world. You know, not only are we in a depression currently right now here in America, even though it's not really beneficial, there's so much going off in 2023 already. You know, we started off with a bang. There's civil unrest occurring all over the world. There's missing children in the UK. We have Asians shooting up the place. I mean, I have no idea what to expect next, Vaughn, to be honest.
Do you think those are false flag shootings or like MK Ultra, or they just went nuts? What's the local flavor in your consensus? What do you think about that? I'm hearing a lot of false flag reports, too, or government robot assassins that were turned on, you know?
You know, I hear these things, too, but I'm not 100% certain or can ascertain that, to be perfectly honest with you. I have no idea if it was a false flag sort of deal. They were saying this was sort of like a lover's sort of dispute, really. But still, that's very odd that anybody would be doing this at that age, in my opinion. I mean, no offense to the elderly people out there. I'm sure they get into these sort of things, too. But these people are Asian. You know, they're not really known to be gunslingers, you know. It's outrageous to me to hear this. But I guess they're proving to be, I guess they're wanting to prove how American they are, I should say.
That's my point. Yeah, I mean, we have a great caller from Texas on my show who is a gunslinger. who, of course, European male, walks around with a piece, as he should. That's just the
right,
the white man's way. But my point is, I love guns. I have guns here and daggers and all kinds of weapons of war in my studio. Looking at them, very cool stuff. But I would never go out and harm anybody. And most millions of Americans wouldn't. But you're right; these Asian men, on purpose, are being triggered, and it all happened like in a week. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories, which I love to delve into. Look at those rabbit holes and go down them. Where we all know the government eventually wants confiscation. We all know eventually they want a trickle-down, incremental system where, you know, they can outlaw guns, you got to turn in your guns. And I've told people before, I know people protest to me. They'll yell in my face, but I always tell them, every study that's been done, and just I'm a street guy, as you are. I predict that far more than 80%, about 80 to 90% of Americans, if they were ordered by the government, they would gladly, not gladly, but they would give up their guns. And I think that's the goal, the end goal here with all these shootings, because we all know they'll say, well, if you don't turn in your guns, you can't work, can't use your credit card. We'll cut off your credit cards. We'll cut off your debit card. Your kid will be kicked out of middle school or whatever. And we all know that the wise will come on, honey. We have a life to live. Turn in the gun. It's not worth our whole life. And that's how they get at you. They get at you with a draconian thing, and they'll use the women to go against the men. And the men will go, okay, I'll give up the gun so we can use our credit card again, and we can travel, we can fly. And that's how they're going to get at people. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, the old saying goes, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And, you know, you can thank Operation Mockingbird for all of this, thanks to the CIA. You know, for those who don't know, I'm sure you know this, obviously, but Operation Mockingbird was a secret campaign by the CIA, to influence the mass media and the news media and television, radio, print media, and, of course, now the Internet. So, yes, the American people would easily give up their guns. We are a small demographic compared to the millions of others out there who just follow the mainstream media, you know, that's all controlled by the feds. And they would easily give up their guns. No problem.
I agree. People protest that, and I go, no, it's going to get down to what I call the hardcore 10%, and they will whittle away at that, and they'll get down to 3 to 5%, the same percent of the American Revolution who did not go along with the King of England and all that. I'm not trying to sound cliche here or always bring up, you know, 1776, et cetera. But it is true that most Americans would not stick to their so-called principles. They will give up their guns for convenience, for cash, for credit. And the feds can hurt them in all kinds of ways. Again, they can kick their kids out of school. They can, you know, do search of their home. They can call them a domestic terrorist. They're already ginning things up now, where they're trying to get all the Trump people that voted for him in both elections as domestic terrorists, trying to label people as you're a gun extremist, if you even own a gun. And the Second Amendment was put there as an insurance policy, as the ultimate insurance policy by our founding fathers in case of a corrupt government. It's not to shoot the place up. It's the last obstacle. It's the ultimate insurance policy against real viable tyranny over the people. And the government, all we have to do is keep boiling the frog, you know, one actual degree a year, over and over and over again. We can keep pushing people, poking the bear over and over again.
Right.
And incrementalism at its best, and they can come at you. And what they'll do, they'll just send you a letter and say, you own 5 guns per ATF or IRS or whatever government entity they want to use. Please give them up. You've got 30 days to give them up or else. And then when they don't, they will come at you even harder. I would suggest they would probably get well over 50% of American gun owners by a letter alone to give up their guns easily. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's very unfortunate that that is something that could easily happen if pressed enough. And maybe these recent shootings, there's no coincidence here. Maybe they are designed for us to maybe relinquish our guns and give them up. Maybe that is a part of the big agenda. Maybe we'll see more of this right now. You know, we just started off the year, and there's been, I forgot how many mass shootings already, but there's been a lot. And the year just started, Vaughn. So, you know, I could only imagine what's next. And that's really what I'm thinking about right now. What exactly is next with the media manipulation? And the biggest terrorists there are is the FBI. They're the biggest domestic terrorists there are in the world. And internationally,
right.
It's always been the FBI. It's insane. And, you know, you brought up Donald Trump a moment ago. And I'm just curious, will you be voting? And you don't have to answer this, but will you be voting for Donald Trump if he does make a return?
My answer is yes and no. I will not vote for Donald Trump to be the nominee. If he becomes the nominee, maybe. But I'm not real happy with Donald Trump right now. And I said that before on my show. In the monologue, I even mentioned I like 2016 Trump. I don't really care for 2022 and 2023 Trump. To me, he's went off the wagon. He's on the juice. He's off the reservation. He's made a lot of faux pas, a lot of stupid comments in my book. He's ingratiated himself with people who were not his base in 2016. Nothing wrong with trying to be all things to all people. I get it. He's a politician.
Sure. Yeah.
But in my book, he's totally gutted the base that put him in power. So what I like to get back to you more, you know, time and time again with people is I'll just slice right down the middle. It was the white suburban patriot voter, male and female, who were fed up with D.C. They came out of the woodwork, the white European stock, the middle class, the greater middle class. And you look at every Trump rally, I challenge anybody. I do not, again, I'm the ultimate observer. I don't see a sea of black people. I don't see a sea of brown people. I don't see a sea of Asian people or Indians. I see a sea of white European people. And every Trump, now the media will say they're all racist, bigots, homophobes, whatever. Nobody cares what the media says. We all know that they were jealous of Trump's power. And they wanted that power. But Trump had it. And those people came out, many who had never voted before, for 10, 20 years. They were so pissed off. They believed in Donald Trump. And they came out of the woodwork to vote for him while the media was asleep at the switch. And so was the deep state. Because they were told repeatedly that Hillary was going to win. You had nothing to worry about. We got it in the bag. Hillary was going to win. And then Trump wins. As I predicted a year earlier, I told people Trump is going to be the nominee. I picked about 16 candidates, and I said on the air, on the record, Trump will win in 2016 against an onslaught of people. So there's no way, Vaughn, Hillary's going to win. There's just no way. You don't get it. No, so you don't get it. I know the people. You don't. And I felt this earthquake, man. I'm telling you, I felt it, sensed it. An earthquake of people coming out from the underground of American society who couldn't wait to vote for that man. Hate to say it, Trump let him down. In many ways. He's lost a lot of those people. He will never win it again. He will not win in 2024. He's a nominee. We won't have much of a choice, put it that way. So he's not going to win. He's not going to – you get one bite at the apple if you're the president. I would never tell a president, you've got 2 terms, buddy. Do whatever you want in the first term. Screw over the base, and you'll be just fine. No, you get 1 bite at that apple. You got 4 years, hit the ground running hard, swift, and sure. You don't have 8 years. You got 4, guaranteed 4. The second term is always, you know, left for debate, and Trump didn't win. Now, it was stolen from him. I do believe it was, but the bottom line was he didn't win. There's no person that's going to install him. That cutard talk of Trump being reinstalled all last year was, I used to laugh
oh
at
my.
It. You know what I mean? I mean, any day now, trust the plan, Michael. Trust the plan, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's enough. That is just ridiculous. But a lot of people fell victim to that for whatever reason. And a lot of people worship money and power. And, you know, there was a time in America where most American people didn't like the ultra-rich. You know, they used to say, kill the rich all the time. I'm not exactly sure what happened. Now we sort of all worship the rich and we kiss the ground they walk on. And, you know, I've always had my issues with Trump, stemming from court documents that were involving Jeffrey Epstein, the fact that he paid off families for different things. And I know what people say, you know, you pay these people off and you get rid of the problem. But when you do that sort of thing, even if you're innocent, it still makes you look bad. It will always make you look bad if you pay off a family and you didn't really fight. So there's that. That's always been an asterisk for me when it comes to Donald Trump. And, of course, the fact that he sort of, quote-unquote, started or upkicked Operation Warp Speed with the what Democrats were calling the Trump vaccine. And I still recall lots of Democrats were saying, oh, I'm not going to get vaccinated, not with the Trump vaccine. So it's kind of funny how the tables have turned. Now the Democrats are pushing.
I agree.
And Donald Trump at a rally is also pushing for the vaccine again. But he stopped once he was getting booed. But I think that was a huge mistake. He kind of showed his hand, which is a fool's move. You never show your deck. But, yeah, he committed a fool's move, and now he's going to pay the price. I don't know if he's going to be able to run again, to be honest. I don't think people are going to vote for him. I think he sort of let down a lot of people, Vaughn.
I agree. I think he's, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, let's not forget, folks, that 2016 was, what, 7 years ago? And he was really running in 2015, which would make it 8 years ago. He was old when he ran in 2015. He's older now.
Right.
I hate to say it, but
yeah.
I think, I hate to say it, I really do. I always tell people, I said when Trump ran in 2016, that was his time. I think now we're seeing an older man run who's more feeble mentally. Trump can walk. He's got a strong gait. He's still a big guy. But he's not as sharp as he used to be. He talks the same pretty much, but he's making a lot of dumb moves that he would have never made in 2016, you know? And I tell folks, too, that we wish Trump well, but I just don't think he's going to win the nomination unless he outright buys it. I don't think he's going to win because, don't forget, he's got a track record, people. In 2016, Trump was a blank slate. All we knew, great business guy from New York, right? But now Trump's got a 4-year presidential track record that everyone can point to. And on the right wing, they can look at him and go, well, dude, you sort of dissed us. I mean, you never talked about your base. And there's nothing against, we have, this country is the most generous in the world. We have minorities everywhere. Our country lets in everyone, right? But all Trump ever seems to talk about is, hey, guys, talking to a white audience predominantly, how about that low black unemployment?
Right.
And everyone claps like seals. Many roll their eyes and go, again, we got to clap for this? He just thinks that that's the biggest selling point. I mean, it's things like that. That he does over, and he's like a broken record to what I'm saying. I mean, he's been talking about the low black unemployment 7-8 years now. And there are black Trump supporters. And there are Hispanic Trump supporters. And there were Asians that strongly supported Trump. But my point they're not enough in numbers to put you over the finish line. It's bad.
Exactly.
It's bad math.
Yeah.
It's stupid math. So then he wonders why people attack, you know?
Right.
Well,
yeah, I just have my doubts, Vaughn. I don't know what's going to happen with our boy Trump.
I agree. Do you think Mar-a-Lago is going to get raided again by the feds?
Possibly. I can't say no, but with the way things are going, it might happen again. I mean, just look what happened to Biden. You know, they caught even more documents. They caught it with more documents again. So, you know, you never know. The Democrats are sick of old man Biden. They're finally going to get rid of him. They definitely want Kamala to run. They definitely want a woman to run this country, which I don't think will ever happen, to be honest. No offense to the little ladies out there.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, like I said in my monologue, Biden is the old white man in the Democrat Party. They don't want white men. They made it very clear to me. If you're a white man out there in Radio Land, if you're a quote-unquote staunch Democrat, you're the biggest moron of all. If you're a white guy out there and you go, I'm a Democrat, that party hates you way more than the rhinos in the Republican Party hate you. But both parties hate you. But the Democrats hate you more with venom.
Yeah, I mean, believe what's going on? Can you even believe, Vaughn, I'm sorry to cut you off there on your own show. But Vaughn, I can't even believe what's going on with the media. You know who runs the media. We don't have to talk about this with the small hats, but it's insane what's going on. You know, they designed white Americans out there, white men, white women, to feel so guilty about being white so much that white people are afraid to do anything nowadays. They are scared shitless these days about everything. They hate themselves because the media told them they hate themselves, and they fall for it. It's ridiculous. No race should ever be ashamed of being anything they are. You know, you should not be ashamed to be black, white, Asian, anything. You know, everything that you are in this world, you should be proud of. You should not hate your own culture.
Exactly. And I always tell folks, you know, you have no control if you're born black or brown or yellow or red or white, whatever, purple.
Right.
If you're a little green man from Mars, you have no control over that. It is what it is, right? But my thing was, I feel Trump's really out of touch. I wish him well, but I think old age is catching up with him, kind of like Biden. And it's obvious to me that I don't see the fire in the belly, you know, that I saw in 2016 with Trump. I don't see the mental sharpness, the clarity that I used to see. Maybe it's there. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it. I want Trump to show us. Like Missouri, it's called the Show Me State. Show me, Trump. Show us. Prove us wrong. You know, if you got it, you better start showing it, because you're the one that announced he's running for president. And I haven't seen any big campaign rallies. I mean, you know, here or there, a few, but the man on the street that I talk to and that you talk to, nobody's enthused that I can see about Trump running. Now, back in 2016, man, I'm telling you, Trump lit a firestorm in this country. Politicians were so envious of him, his juggernaut in every state, rolling like German panzers across the Ukrainian countryside. Back in World War II, Trump was a beast to contend with, a bull in a china shop. Couldn't be stopped by anything.
He was.
But I tell people that the will of the people is a powerful thing. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you're right. You know, you brought me back to that. And it was kind of incredible to see, even though he had his faults and I had my biases towards him, I was never a hater of Trump. I was always entertained by him, to be honest, first and foremost. But, yeah, he was like a dictator, to be honest, in a good way. In a good way. I'm just saying – I'm comparing him to being a dictator for our country, and we needed that at the time, to be honest. And what I mean by that as well is that he had this charisma about him. He was charismatic, and no one else was like that. And that's why people flocked to him. They'd never seen this kind of animal before in the political realm, and it took this nation, it took us for a loop, really. You know, the world was at a standstill once Trump was announced to be the president of the United States. Pretty wild times, to be honest.
I mean, Trump made politics fun again for the average man and woman in America and flyover country. That's a secret. He made it fun
Absolutely.
And interesting. People liked his mean tweets. They were funny. I mean, seriously, if you're objective like Michael is and I am, I could sit there and laugh at Trump going, well, she's ugly. And then he would just, you know, or just some off-the-cuff comment that people went, well, yeah, she is a bitch and she is ugly. I mean, you know, I mean, it was – every day there was another tweet and the Democrats would, you know, gnash their teeth and cry about it. To me, it was hilarious. I thought, oh, this is great.
I like a
Trump invoked what I call the tricky dick Nixon persona, which is what you want in a president. You don't want your enemies to always know what you're really thinking. Tricky Dick Nixon was phenomenal at that. He had the communists convinced that we were withdrawing from Saigon, and then he does the Christmas Day bombing, bombed the living F out of them in the Vietnam War. Blew up a lot of their bases. I know my dad was there. You know, he caught hell for it in the media. How can you bomb these communists on Christmas Day? And then Nixon just goes, Merry Christmas. Fuck around and find out. That's the way I roll, bitch.
I like that.
You don't like it?
Like.
Get the F out of here. Kitchen's too hot for you? I don't care. I was a Nixon man. Still am. And see, Trump was invoking that. That's how you fight. And see, that's why Trump had the North Korean dictator in the palm of his hand. You notice he stopped launching missiles. You notice that Putin did not invade Ukraine the minute Trump got in office. They didn't know what this guy was going to do. And we don't even know all the classified things that went on when Trump was president that will come out later. Wars he might have averted or stopped. I'm not saying Trump's a saint.
Right.
But you need that in a leader. And no president is a saint anyway. We don't elect altar boys to president. I want a guy from the streets. I want a guy who can fight and in a good street fight, and he knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he can wear a tuxedo, smile in the enemy's face, and then point our nukes at them the next morning. That's the kind of guy you need. Trump embodied all of that. And all you got to say is America wasn't at war. He avoided the Syrian war. He was not going to put Americans at risk or American cities, unlike now. And for that, I salute him. I'm very fair with Trump. I think you are too.
Absolutely.
I know you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't hate the guy. You know, everyone has their faults. I still feel he's a great leader, and it's what we needed at this time. And, you know, Vaughn, I could easily talk to you for a lot longer, but unfortunately this cell phone is dying on me. You know, I only have like maybe 2-3% left here on the cell phone. And, you know, I wish I could talk to you longer here, Vaughn, but, you know, it's always a honor and absolute pleasure to hear your voice and share the air with you, my friend. Always awesome to be here.
We're going to wrap things up. I knew we were getting close to the time clock here, but I wanted to indulge with you. We haven't spoken for a while, and I really appreciate your gracious time. And so glad that we had the Michael Deacon himself on the Vaughn and Weekend show tonight. Give one more plug to our late listeners, Michael, about your show on YouTube and how they can reach you.
Yes, sir. No worries. If you want all the information, please go to michaeldeacon.com. And the show's there, all the links for whatever we do. Go to Facebook, type in the Michael Deacon Program. Go to YouTube, search the Michael Deacon Program. You can find the podcast version of the show. Just wherever you listen to your podcast, your favorite podcast, you'll probably find my show there. Just search the Michael Deacon Program, And, of course, we are live usually weekdays, usually around 5, usually around 1 p.m. or 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is when we go live. So if you want to hear the program live and direct, please look out for us during the week. Go to YouTube, and that's where you'll find the live show. Just search the Michael Deacon Program. Very easy, very simple. Go there, and my God, you won't regret it. It's a very entertaining show. You'll have fun. You can listen to it around your parents. You can listen to it around there, anyone. And, of course, you must have a sense of humor, first and foremost. If you don't, we probably don't want you there.
Love it. Michael Deacon, thanks so much for being on the Vinyl Weekend Show. We appreciate you. We will do this again. And I'm looking forward to going on your show again, too. And have a great night, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael. Michael Deacon Program, again, you can find it on YouTube. I've been on there many, many times. Great, great guy. We'll get to your calls next. Just some quick comments about our conversation tonight. You just tuned in. We were talking to Michael Deacon, and he has a radio show and a live show, live stream on YouTube. Getting back to Trump, though, for a moment. Trump was no perfect president. He has a track record now, like I said. We had riots under Trump. Don't forget that in these Democrat cities. Yes, there was conjecture and talk of Trump wanting to bring out the National Guard. He should have done more, in my view, than just say, I'm going to monitor the situation. But maybe he couldn't. Maybe he was stopped. Bottom line is, it wasn't done. What I always said about Trump was, after January the 6th, he should have pardoned the nonviolent offenders and everyone that, if the police didn't have anything on people, let them go. They're still in there. There's someone rotting in that D.C. jail. So for that reason alone, yeah, there's pros and cons to every president. You'll never get a perfect candidate or a perfect president. Get that thought out of your head. But I think Trump tried. I think we all know he was definitely the enemy of the deep state. Hillary was the heir apparent, and she lost. And for that reason, I salute Donald Trump for stopping Hillary from becoming the president. Hillary would have decimated the middle class. She would have had us involved in many wars. She hates men. If you're a man and you're voting for Hillary, God, you're a complete moron. So Trump stopped the Hillary machine, and for that, we thank you, sir. Well, enough of Trump. We're going to move on to your calls. We hit a lot of points during the Michael Deacon Program here on this show. Get a cocktail. Get a drink. We shall return after this, I promise you. Yes, love that. We're back. The Rogue, the infamous Fun Weekend Show is here, America. Wow, what a great VIP guest Michael Deacon was. Very interesting. I could talk to him for hours. Now, next week, well, I told you all that we were going to have our VIP guest come in during this late winter. Spring is our favorite time of the year. So call times will be a little bit shorter, I know. But next week we should have Joe Montaldo in our UFO segment, semi-annual. And I can tell you that when I last had Joe Montaldo on, he's world famous. See him on Ancient Aliens all the time. He runs a UFO ICAR group in Louisiana. The hits from Joe Montaldo being on the Von Wien show skyrocketed in stat world. Oh, my God. My show with your calls and him as a VIP went viral the last two times. So we love what he has to say about the alien agenda. Can't wait to hear the new intel he's got, hopefully next week or sometime in February. We'll have him on as a VIP guest as well. Well, the semi-trucks and truckers are stalled all across America. Did you know this? Done on purpose. There's video upon video on TikTok and elsewhere about the truckers trying to get your groceries to your local grocery store and things of that nature, and they've been just stopped from moving. A lot of weird conjecture about that. I'm still digging into the story, but these truck stops are full of trucks that are not moving. Very strange news. Also, did you know, in our Did You Know series, that 3,000 more Brits are dying each week, who many say are linked to the mandated COVID vaccine. Very interesting how that happens, right? In America, can you legalize critical thinking again, as well as reading comprehension skills? Is that too much to ask, America? I ask you. And while we're at it, can we somehow identify each voter in real time to eliminate fraud in our so-called precious Roman Republic and what the Democrats like to call our, quote, democracy? You'll notice that every talk show, Democrats always talk about the democracy and not the American Republic or what's left of it, right? Well, more on that later. Let's get back to the phones, to American Scotch in Wyoming and flyover country. American Scotch, welcome again, sir, to the Rogue Von Weekend Show. How are you?
I'm good, Von. How's it going tonight?
Good, man. Good, good. I thought you all would enjoy something a little different with the Michael Deacon program on my show. And
that's
interesting.
Yeah, that was,
guy
that was great hearing from
a
guy
out
in California. Yeah, a California
guy. Know.
I always am interested to have that point of view from such a battleground state. I mean, literally a battlefield. But, yeah, I mean, best of luck to him in that program getting launched, and it's great you could talk to him. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts tonight, man? Thank you for that. What are your thoughts about what's going on?
I
love your calls.
Some of those goings on in D.C. this week, I know you noticed them. I've been posting as much as I could on the Gab, the Cloud Hub, and on Telegram about, you know, Adam Schiff, what's going on with Omar Ilhan, what's going on with Feinstein, and other things that McCarthy's tackling right now. Again, it's surprising me. We got so used to rhinos. We got so used to Republicans doing nothing. And they're really hanging these guys out to dry. Swalwell and Schiff especially, I find that just, I mean, if I could get excited at this point, I guess you could call it that, but I'm getting a little numb. I'm getting tired of waiting for results out of McCarthy and company. I mean, I like what I'm seeing. I'd like to see it faster. I'd like to see harder pain inflicted upon these damn Democrats because of what they've done to all of us for the last 8 years. But it's interesting. I mean, it's definitely an improvement over the last few terms of representatives that have been
parading C-SPAN and the rest of our, you know, television screens. I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but being plucked off of the Intel committees, both Swalwell and Schiff, that's progress, brother. I mean, it's not exciting. It's not like seeing Biden hauled out in cuffs, but it's important. After that, I guess I'll lean on your opinion because I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are as to what we've seen, as well as Schiff trying to jockey for becoming a U.S. senator in Feinstein's absence. I find that just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, yeah, like I said in my monologue, I see where you came in, I think, around the start of the show. I did mention that I believe this is all set up. Nothing happens in D.C. by coincidence. Get it? Coincidence? Anyway,
yeah.
This is all staged theater, folks. It's kabuki theater. It's political. It's all planned and contrived and plotted out. They have stashed these documents. They tipped off the media. Hey, go to Biden's house by the Delaware River. Go to Biden's summer spring house in the Hamptons. You'll find even more documents. And they send these journalists on these wild goose chases where they actually do stumble and trip over boxes of, you know, the Pentagon Papers and all kinds of, you know, Area 51 stuff, you know, intel on Putin and national security stuff that they want to hang him with. So to me, it's designed to apply pressure on Biden to eventually they want to come to him with a binder and go, Joe, the Democrat Party has decided you're not going to be the nominee. Sign right here and resign, or you're going to get shot. JFK, your ass. And I believe it was told to them just like that. You can live the rest of your life, whoever the hell you are, as a cyborg, you know, in retirement. If you are the real Joe Biden, wink, wink, we have $100 million in a big, fat Swiss account for you. We suggest you go that direction to enrich your family and live out the rest of your life. But if you're really stuck, man, on becoming the Democrat nominee, you're not going to make it. Wink, wink, and nod, nod. You know, so that's how they'll present it to him. He'll do the smart thing and resign. They'll give him a great cover story. Probably his wife is sick, or it won't be him. It'll be somebody else in his family. And they'll also say Hunter Biden is exonerated, your son, your family. The Biden crime family is now taken care of. And enjoy your new lifestyle and your retirement, Joe. And they want to bring up Kamala, who's really the new face of the Democrat Party. She's a woman of color. God, I hate that phrase. Woman of color. Not male. She has no penis. And that's what the Democrat Party loves. Minority, female.
And you know what's interesting? You know, it's interesting you brought that up because I had a long discussion with a buddy of mine today about Kamala and some of this pressure they're applying on Joe, whether it's, you know, overt, legit, who knows. But I totally agree with everything you said because, it's very concocted feeling. Everything feels very artificial and synthetic. But one thing about Kamala that I find fascinating, and it's reminding me quite a bit of Obama, is that her background, you know, to become president, your parents have to be naturally born here, if I'm not mistaken. And I know for a fact, as a person, you had to have been born in the United States, and you had to live here continually. You can't not live here continually, for there's a certain stipulation regarding that. Well, she didn't meet those standards. I know her parents are foreign-born, and she was living in Canada for a good chunk of her life during those crucial definitive years and time frames that boots her out of the ability to become president. So we will find out if there's any teeth to these McCarthy people and the mechanism in the House of Representatives and the DOJ when push comes to shove. Because, you know, people don't realize this, but, you know, her father, her mother, I can't remember which, is one of them's from Jamaica. Well, Jamaica, if anybody remembers, who used to rule Jamaica before it was a so-called independent island? If anybody out there can know, it was British. It was a British colony.
Right. British Empire.
Island, British territory, as was Kenya.
which was Obama's stomping
yes.
grounds. So you got two people that are now in the Oval Office or real close within the White House, within the executive branch, whose background as foreigners all tie in to the British Empire, to British intelligence, to MI6. And, of course, now we're starting to remember reverberations and echoes of the Steele dossier and the Russia hoax and the Ukraine phone calls and the Vindman bullshit and all the crap and all the actors and agents, if you will, that we're dealing with from Ukraine, Vatican City, London. Of course, we're dealing with the same corral of people. They're all intelligence. They're all the same group of people. And the ultimate strings for MI6, CIA, Mossad are all being pulled by truly the Vatican, if you will. That's really where the real power in this world for the most part, and most people think it's the Rothschilds, and that's true to a degree, but it's not entirely true. With intelligence operations, you're dealing with the Vatican. You're dealing with the Jesuit power, which is absolutely mammoth when you look at the university systems in this country. I mean, my God, I mean, the Jesuits control probably, if I had to guess, at least 65-80% of higher education universities in the United States of America. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. So I hear what you're saying. I'm curious as to where this could go because these documents they keep finding, you know, behind the Corvette and on top of the washer and dryer and, you know, stuck behind the jet skis of the other property that he's got up in the Tillamook region, whatever. I mean, it's just adding more and more layers of explosive to the detonation of Joe Biden. That's how I look at this. Absolutely inevitable. I can't project when it'll be, but I'm with you. I know his days are numbered, and he is going to be shown the door and will be the second resignation of a president after Richard M. Nixon, unless it's more dire than that. And I don't really want to go further because I hate to say that, you know, whether he be assassinated or die naturally of natural causes, so-called natural causes.
Right.
Who knows, man? But, yeah, this circus act coming out of D.C., I'll tell you what, with Ilhan Omar saying that getting rid of her from the intelligence community or the intelligence committee is a threat to national security, I had to really take a walk around the block after that one. I really did. I had to catch my wits about me because I really thought I'd seen and heard it all at that point. You know, we are living in a freaking circus, brother. I tell you what.
Are we?
I don't really know what to say. Yeah.
It is.
Go ahead.
I mean, this is so obvious to me. I mean, you mean to tell me 2 years ago when Biden first got in there and it was kind of tentative, right? He got in there, he was very insecure and he was installed as the president. And they said that Trump lost and blah, blah, blah. We all know that same story. But my thing is they waited until it kind of cooled off. He solidified his position. And now we find boxes, which is out of the blue. It's like scripted, folks. This is all scripted. You tell me CNN, Fox, all the news channels got the story at the same time. They all knew exactly where to go to find the documents. Once they get it, they find more and more documents. Now they find documents at the Pence compound. You'll see, find more documents at Mar-a-Lago that will trigger another raid. I have already said that Trump will get raided again just to ensure.
I totally agree with you.
Up for another raid. Oh, yeah. They'll find probably documents with Texas Governor Abbott. They'll find documents with other Republican governors and DeSantis. They will find them magically in the garage of Governor DeSantis that they'll say Trump gave to him. Be a big lie. Everyone's going to believe it. And that now disqualifies him for running for president. That's how the game was played.
That's a very interesting hypothesis. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. And what you just outlined is a never-ending maelstrom of distraction and 24/7 sound bites from CNN and MSNBC, and once again for another year, two, three, or four, United States of America Incorporated goes absolutely nowhere except down the drain, further and faster and more. Obviously, I mean, you know what? Shit's got to turn, brother. I tell you right now, I've been having
friends of mine in Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, Nevada. I've got friends all over. They're all saying the same thing. They are at their breaking point now. They're at their breaking point. They haven't had stimulus checks. The jobs, they can find them. Sometimes they're okay, but most of the time they get wages. They're just losing
right.
their freaking tempers now, man, and it's dangerous. You feel it in the air. Like, there's just
– You
there's
do.
A fed-up point.
I agree.
There's a fed-up point
I
with
agree.
Everybody. They're just over it, bro. You can't buy eggs. You can't buy gas. You're getting static over a gas stove, but the liberals want to have
yes.
pink hair and screw your kids and teach them to be
yes.
gay and chop their tits off in the third grade. I mean, I don't know. I just kind of – I'm kind of afraid for this country. They don't know what they're fucking with. But these people in the United States with this many arms and the temperament of Americans, when it's finally lit, it's going to go off like a Roman candle, man. I'm telling you. And there's no putting that thing back in the box. There just isn't.
I totally agree.
Once
it starts, it ain't going to stop. I told you before, once the shooting – and we don't want that. We're a peace-loving show. I always say these
yep.
things will happen organically. We're not
yep.
– on my show, enticing anybody to do anything in the real world. I said over and over again, I don't have to. All I do
right.
is watch the news like you. Things happen naturally anyway. And revolutions
yeah.
historically happen naturally. They don't need my show for anything. We have to say that as a disclaimer because we know we have nefarious people listening in. And they'll
yep.
say, see, the Von Wien show, he's ginning people up. He's encouraging them for violence. No. I say we're peaceful. All we do on this show is report and observe and
observe. Yeah.
project. I'm very good at projecting politics in this country. As you know, as you are, I know America well, and I do believe you're right. It will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Unbelievable where we're at, but they really take the country for fools. They don't believe you're going to do anything, Mr. and Mrs. America. They really don't. They've taken you out of the equation. They believe they have superior intelligence, intel, media, propaganda, all in their hip pocket. And they do right now, but there's a firestorm. It's on a low simmering heat, and you're right. You
yeah.
see, you know, American Scotch, I was at the gas station, just some quick anecdotal stories. When you see people slam the gas pump, and they go, I can't afford this $35, and scream at a gas pump.
Ooh.
And I look at them, and I see this several times now, and they throw it down, they go, you know, F it. And they go,
yep.
is gas
yep.
too high? Or they walk into Safeway. I saw a lady last week. Why is milk and eggs so expensive? Yelling it out. You know, now you don't see it every day. Most people are trying to be polite. They're trying to,
yep.
you know, there's a thing called the normalcy bias. Americans love normality. They all, you know,
yep.
they are called the normies. But people like normal prices, right, normal behavior, and you can call them a normie, but they like that, and they don't want to see gas at $10 a gallon, eggs at $20 for 12, you know, stuff
right.
like that. But I'm starting to see people crack, that's what I'm saying, psychologically
yep.
crack. What it, and it goes with what you were saying. People are starting
yep.
to break down. We're seeing it now on as you travel around town, I always ask people, how many people are smiling and genuinely happy as you walk about your day at the convenience store? Are they frowning, simmering, seething with rage?
Seething.
I
yes.
sense the seething.
Yes, sir.
I sense it very quickly.
Absolutely. That's the best adjective I can think of, and that is exactly how I feel
yeah.
when I see these people. They're just gritting their teeth. If you brush them wrong just 1 ounce, you're going to have a fight. I notice
right.
that when I'm around people's bad vibes from the nightclub life and all the bouncing that I had to do in security work and being in those big mobs in Vegas for years, I can sense when bad shit's going to go down before it happens. It's just the sixth sense you get from being around that many people and being on
the same way.
And the other
I'm the
thing
same
I
way.
Noticed,
I can sense
I know,
it. Yep.
Yeah. And you can I think I'll throw a post up about it, but they had the audacity to throw a clip up today of a black dude that was on one of these like Breakfast Club type shows where it's black pop culture. And he was sitting there ranting, just chimping out, talking about how reparations are absolutely due. They're absolutely required. And not only that, but black people have the right and they are entitled to not only the $5 million per person that San Francisco's floated like a bunch of fucking lunatics, but they want 25 cents, Vaughn, of every single dollar that passes through every port on every coast. Because blacks primarily populate the blue coastal port city states. Now, just think about that. This message is getting out there to these blacks, and they're listening to it. They're nodding their heads. They're getting excited, rubbing their hands, chimping out, shaking. Hey, you know what? We need to take this from Whitey. I'm telling you, bro, this is Charles Manson projected race war shit that they are setting up. I mean, there's no doubt about this. And these two sides are not going to back down. The whites and the blacks. The blacks, once they get cooked up that this is my money and I earn that money and you're going to give it to me, Whitey, because I didn't do nothing and you're going to give me that money. And the whites are going to be like, you know what? You want war? You got it. You got it. Come get it. And that's it. I mean,
that's
once
right.
It starts off, it's going to be a deadly scenario. Cities like you, I mean, that's a massive town. Most people don't understand how big Phoenix is. My God. That city is huge, and all that California influx, all that influx that's been coming in from the West Coast, all three of these coastal states up there, that is just going to be something that people, they've never seen anything like it, and they'll never see it again. It will be a book-breaking event that they'll talk about that, you know, this violence that is potentially coming for years. I mean, it's sobering. It really is. I don't know. I mean, this is just getting to the point where I don't know what's going to give, but something's going to slipshod real fast. That's just my gut.
Well, you're right. And I think that one thing I would tell anybody like that is don't forget the white European man's very, very good at war. We are very, very good at war.
You
very ruthless and very lethal. So
yes,
look
sir.
Back in history and recent history. And we even go against the war against each other. Look at World War I, World War II. Now, of course, people will say that both sides. Yeah, both sides were fun. That we all that. But my thing is that once the shooting begins, here's the problem. I tell people the white man has a long fuse, a longer fuse than the minority man. I'll tell you what. Minority people typically we have a lot that listen to the show, but. Just being in general, they tend to get emotionally hot a lot faster than a white at first. Just in general, they tend to get more excited in a positive way, and they tend to get very, very quick to anger where the white guy likes to analyze things and think about it. However, it's called the white light, the white fire. It's the hottest fire there is the white fire. And when it gets soaked, when it catches, you know, that when it gets ignited, it is the hardest fire to put out. Any scientist will tell you.
Right.
It's the hardest to put out. Once these things start, that's why it took forever to stop World War I. Took forever to stop World War II, 6 years. And it could have kept going for 10 more. And it took forever to really – peace wasn't really in Europe until like 1950, really. And then we had – the Korean War, the Vietnam War. The white man's always at war because we're good at it, and they should think twice about that. On the other issue, and again, whether you're brown, black, or indifferent, or purple, or green, we don't really care. I want more freedom and liberty in our country. The problem is by telling those minority groups crap like that, you're right. It's going to get into their brain. They're not going to hear a podcast like this, and they're going to think that we owe them a living, that we owe them this money. A few years back, there was a few black militias, name will go not mentioned on my show, that they actually asked for the entire state of Texas, and they were serious. You're going to give us Texas. We claim Texas. Federal government, we're going to go to war if you don't give us Texas and the federal, I said, you watch it. Now that leader is going to get arrested for something. And he did. Again, they were all over the news and they were out there. There were several of these groups and they were dead serious. They marched in Kentucky and Georgia and Texas and Louisiana. They're still out there.
Yep.
And they're, but in their minds, you owe them Texas. And now they want port cities. At some point, and they're heavily armed as well. At some point, again, I don't want to race for in this country. Would be, that's what the elites want. They want us to fight each other.
You got that
right. We don't
want
that.
Yes, sir.
We don't, I don't advocate that. You don't either. But my point is the elites would love nothing better than to pit American against American, you know, brown versus black, black versus white, and vice versa. Yellow against purple, green against, you know, what you know, against black or brown or white, whatever color you pick, they want this to happen. They want this melting pot to explode.
Yep.
And so on this show, you know, we can't avoid that if it happens organically, but we definitely don't advocate it. But you're spot on, man. I mean, these things are simmering. People are seething. They're being paid very little, many jobs. I get it. Money's tight out there. Money's tight.
Oh.
Tighter, I think.
Well,
for a lot
there's
of
just no, there's just no justice. I mean, there's been no justice, really, any visible, as ascertainable justice at all. I mean, yeah, they arrested Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, supposedly, what's his name, killed himself
right.
in the cell, whatever. But there's been no arrest of anybody that went to the island. There's been no visible arrest of any politicians that have broken the law. I mean, insider trading on Pelosi's behalf. Where is she? Where are the handcuffs? Why are you not perp walking these people? Dude, you got to do this now. It is time. And I'm talking to whoever is running this goddamn government right now, because it sure as shit isn't fucking shit his pants Biden. I don't know who it is or what it is, but you got the people that are losing their shit right now. It's time to start rolling heads of these criminals. The Americans are fed up. I'll just leave it at that, man. I've just been in a freaking mood all day about this. All day. Ugh.
I love it, American Scotch. I couldn't agree more, man. It's definitely boiling, and, they can't keep a lid on it forever. Sir, with that, have a great night. I appreciate your phone call and your spot on and the great, great call, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Take care.
It's American Scotch, folks. Great guy, great patriot out there in Wyoming. Definitely check his Gab page. I like it. A lot of great video, interesting conjecture. He puts things on his page that you can't find anywhere else. And you'll see a lot of it reposted on my timeline as well. We get a lot of great calls. We had a lot of people who wanted to call in tonight. They dropped off. I realize that. When we have a VIP, this will happen. We're going to get to Irish Pirate and then close out the show. But we do want to get some VIP sometime to mix it up. Again, next week we should have Joe Montaldo sometime in February. And the UFO show is always fun because we get to hear about reptilians and some abductions and how it all ties into MKUltra and the federal government. And the Disclosure Project and Operation Mockingbird, the CIA in the media. We'll tie all the loose ends together, and we will arrange a paradigm shift for the radio audience. Well, gosh, it's been an amazing day. I want you to hear this by Tom McDonald called My Generation.
My generation got our driver's license at 14, had a job at 16, and moved out at 17. Your generation is still trying to define what a woman is and living in your parents' basement until you're 35. My generation grew up on uncensored everything. Your generation censors everything. My generation shotguns, rode dirt bikes, and went camping for fun. Your generation stares at your phone all day and dances on the internet in your sister's underwear. My generation knew how to make decisions. Important ones. Your generation can't even decide which bathroom to use. My generation wants the truth and the facts, no matter how uncomfortable they are. Your generation is so offended that the truth and the facts don't support whatever outlandish bullshit is floating around in your imagination that you've started labeling everything that you don't agree with as misinformation. My generation has two genders. Your generation has 89,347 and counting. My generation judges people on whether or not they're an asshole. Your generation judges people on race, weight, religion, sex, gender, financial standing, something that they tweeted 20 years ago in grade 8 when they were drunk for the first time. Your generation cancels everything you don't agree with. My generation doesn't give a f*** about the things we don't agree with. Beat it, loser. My generation fights for the right to party. Your generation doesn't fight, doesn't like having rights, and doesn't like to party. What the f*** is wrong with you guys? My generation is going to be able to handle the new music video that I'm dropping on Friday. Your generation is going to have a meltdown.
God, I love that. Well, it's now time for our tech wizard, the Irish pirate, and put him on sometimes on this show, on almost every show many times, because after he's heard it all, we will discuss it all. But we're always up against that clock, as you know. We have to give him a good song to come in from the radio green room. And I decided to mix it up again. We'll use a song from last week called Pure Energy.
So far, but we're not out yet.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
Bring on the Irish pirate, and he's pure energy, being our tech wizard. Right, sir. How are you doing, Irish?
I'm doing pretty
are
good.
Are you there?
On Weehide. I can definitely tell you, good. Pure energy is not like that. I want to represent.
I thought
that.
You liked that.
I want to be the harmonizer and also the one guy who want to be afraid to make mad at the same time. I like being all those things.
Well, you've heard a lot tonight. You've heard from Michael Deacon and American Scotch, and a lot of intel, a lot of information. I agree with American Scotch. Let's first get to that, he and I are kindred spirits, that this country is simmering and seething at the seams, and people are really starting to act out and break down. What are your thoughts on that as you travel around the Phoenix area and beyond?
I think we just barely scratched the surface on that, and it's going to get way worse. The news of the day that I have listened to suggests we're really going to go kaboom. Let's see.
Tell us.
I think one of the wildest was the latest by Project Veritas. And that'll be
okay.
Since that came out today, some people have heard about it, some have not. But they blew the lid off of Pfizer, of all things. They actually got their world top salesman guy, the guy that's supposed to coordinate the efforts, they got him not just talking about, bragging about the product and how it is going to sell itself by offering the problem and the solution at the same time. And this is according to Salesman. I'm not saying that this man is a scientist. I don't believe he is. But I can tell you that he honestly believes this product is sinister and that it's going to make everybody – they called it a cash cow, literally, on this hidden microphone. And actually, hidden video. They got on video. And so far, all they've done about it is try to shut it down when somebody needs to hear it. And the response that somebody got for trying to get this, they found out that, for example, there were FBI people following around the people that were in Pfizer that turned out to be, they figured out who was Veritas after that, and they started shadowing them. And it got physical. Folks were called in. This is going to get really, really ugly. You want to know what's going to light Americans on fire? Is when somebody does honest journalism and they do like they did, for example, to the people that were on January 6th and they just serve in jail, let them rot. That's, you know, that's where you're going to get a lot of people's attention, is that you're playing unfair baseball. You know, we've talked about that before, that one side can do something and they let them get away with. The other side doesn't even actually come anywhere near that. And maybe, I don't know, talks about doing something and slam, they give them, you know, the max penalty they can think of. Alex Jones gets hit with a lawsuit that they literally demand higher than the GDP of France, except for that in Texas, all those things are capped at 500,000. I'm surprised that didn't set people off. But Alex Jones actually said, hey, why did they make it trillions? I want to know how much they really hate me, and I'm not sure I'm doing a good enough job if I can't get them to cheat enough, which is a good point. I mean, I personally would like to see in the future, if somebody's going to be that awful, go ahead and tell me to my face that you want me dead. Go ahead and tell me to my face if you can do it. I mean, I'm sure they can't do it. If you agree with what American Scotch is trying to say, they can't do it. They don't have the guts to tell you to your face, I would love for a nuclear war to happen, and that it would just happen to, you know. And the funny thing is, for all the words and everything we put out on things like nuclear war, the funniest thing of all of it is that most of them think it's the blast that's going to kill people. They have no clue. They've never even imagined a nuclear bomb going off somewhere in the United States. Even if it just happened in New York City, one time, one bomb, what that would do to their banking, to their product chains, to their availability of things like parts. I mean, they never thought about that. They said, you'd really suffer if you were in a nuke. And the answer is, I'd probably suffer more quality of life if I survived it.
That's right.
You know, it's actually kind of a debate.
I mean, do you really want to survive a nuclear? Yeah, do you want to survive a nuclear strike, America? Really? I mean, what's going to be left is total Mad Max to the nth degree. I mean, you want to go out in the blast, really? I mean, if you really want to survive that bad, I get it. But there's not going to be any food, any water. Everything's going to be contaminated, and people will be out there to kill you. There are cannibals everywhere. Like in that movie Zombieland, there'll be millions or at least thousands of zombies, literally zombies. People are going to go nuts. And this is why I tell people you better have guns and ammo and baseball bats and knives, and not that we're violent, but they are. They are. They're the ones that are coming against you. What are you going to do when they come for you, right?
Well, and now let's add a little more, shall we say, a few more matches to this fire. I don't know if you realize what just happened today in Ukraine. I mean, Davos had their meeting. They broke their meeting up. What happens? A bunch of the higher-ups in Ukraine just died today. All of a sudden, you know, helicopter crashes.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Cars blew up. Oh, I don't, you know. Suddenly died seems to be a very interesting phrase there, although I don't think this was the shots. But what that does,
I'm sure these are the guys that would have stood up and said, we're not going to provoke a nuclear war through NATO. Because, you know, remember, it's kind of ironic. Ukraine didn't join NATO and doesn't trust NATO. Well, guess what? Everybody left standing, I bet, does. Everybody that's still breathing still does in that big, you know, I don't know what you call their higher-ups, but let's just call it a parliament of people.
Right.
You really think that that's not going to happen? They're sure trying to make it happen. And
they are.
They're asking me or you our opinion on whether or not that's going to happen. And so
right.
I can see definitely the handwriting's on the wall that, and this is what Alex Jones has been going off for the past, 2 weeks. He said, yeah, there's a lot of bad things going on out there, but nuclear war, World War III, that's the number one thing we got to stop. And so he put out a 15-minute rant that does have a lot of cuss words and things like that in it. But boy, did he nail it on the head. He said, you guys really don't understand World War III. You've never been in a fist fight. You've never shot a gun. You've never even played football, full pads and full contact. You've never done it. You have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, there's all these people that, it would be cute if, you know, somewhere over the seas there was a nuke. Ha, ha, ha. You know, somebody's going to die in the blast. And it's like, no, no, no. And that's what we're up against, Von Wehunt, is this type of ignorance. We're up against these people that have never, even if they've read about history in a history book, which probably was, you know, one of those Houghton Mifflin kind of history books that's kind of tainted. Well, the problem you're going to have is that still didn't explain exactly what the problem was. I mean, sure, we sent people overseas and they died. Sure, we sent people overseas and worse yet, maybe, they came back and they're all messed up for the rest of their lives. Their marriages broke up. Their children had issues. Mm-hmm. The country had a big bill to pay because we wanted to keep these people in society, maybe, or at least wanted to pretend, I guess. And war is hell on the home front, too. And either way, whether it happens there or here or anywhere, it's a cover-up for the things that people have been ignoring now for many years, maybe, you know, depending on what you're talking about. Let's say up to 100 years, you know, they've been messing with the skies. They've been messing with your economy. They've been we just found out now that chicken feed is tainted. People have been putting up
That's
videos.
Right.
They've been feeding their chickens. This one lady, really smart, she's been soaking the chicken feed in water to stretch it, soften it up.
Right.
It's actually easier. And guess what? It won't accept the water. This one particular lady put out the video. It stopped soaking up water. They tainted it so bad. It's in, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
The thing
they're attacking our food supply.
They're attacking
the food supply.
Well,
they're trying to disrupt the supply chain. They want chickens to be $100 each, so you can't afford them. That's the goal. It's like eggs and milk. They start small.
Yep.
Pretty soon it's going to be chickens. Then they'll taint the beef. They're going to taint the vegetables. That along with the chemtrails, the contrails. If they can starve out America or really price you out of the grocery store. You know how many more millions of hungry people?
Dangerous to show up.
Because that's when they will grab guns and they will start trying to forage food violently, going into your home.
Because you're going to have a hard time, Von Wehunt, if the problem is either you can't afford to go to the grocery store to get stuff, or you do have the money, but too many people don't have money and they're waiting for you to come out of the grocery store.
That's my point. They'll lay in wait for you. Yeah. You just bought two sacks of groceries. Let's follow them home. He's alone or she's alone. See, that's how it starts. I hate to say it, but, I mean, you'll have armed guards escorting you out of Safeway or Kroger to your car. And in your car, you better be packing some heat, you know, because I can see that going down. You know, because if groceries get to be $200 a bag, the average guy on the street can't afford that. They're barely scraping by as it is. Barely.
Yep.
And if it's one sack of groceries costs won the $200 of cash. You know how much food a family needs? All these young kids in medicine, healthcare,
and
clothing.
Well, and now,
unreal.
Well, and now let's get to the discovery part. In this case, one guy is a family man, and I don't know, I can't remember how old his little son is, 2 or 4 or that type of thing, but he wanted to go feed the chickens. The chickens were pooping in his lawn, and the kid was playing in the lawn. He came home with salmonella the other day. So he said, okay, we'll put the chickens in a coop. So now he says, I feel sorry for the chickens. They won't lay eggs anymore. Let's feed them some clover that's growing on the lawn now that it's wintertime in Texas. And so he scoops up a few handfuls of clover and feeds them the chickens. They lay eggs within the week. And they began to realize that was their version of the same thing. And so you got this issue where – and do you remember just a few months ago where it was a big sensation that people were taking video of magnets sticking to the steaks in the meat department? In this case,
I saw that.
No. I reported that myself. I did that in one particular grocery store. I'm willing to name it at your request. And I didn't even come in with magnets in my pockets. I used the ones that were in the store. then I just came back and said, oh, boy, it's for – because I wanted to test it. I'm a scientist. I wanted to test it.
No,
real.
Don't name the store. I'm sure. Yeah, we'll leave the store nameless, but let's say it's one of the big chains. Right.
Yeah, I will say this. It was the house brand, right? It was not organic. It was not, you know, that type of thing. And so the one thing I haven't seen, no more videos like that. And so how do they get that to not show up in social media is way beyond my comprehension. I mean, once you would think that would just take off. Everybody go, nah, 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 magnets stick to the meat. And that should be the end of that. And we saw people sticking magnets to their where their shots went in, and all sorts of crazy things. And they wanted to show off what was crazy. You don't have to put rings in your nose and weird cats on your arms to do that. That's what they're doing to you, is what I thought would take off. And I still feel that way. I still feel given any opportunity, they're messing with your food. They're messing with your health care. They're messing with everything. And so we talked on the last show about supplements. And I told you how much where I got some of my knowledge from. Blow your mind, but that's okay. And main thing is now you're going to be left with what you know, because you can't trust what's going down. You can't trust how the food is getting into the store. And I'm starting to see stores that are getting pretty dilapidated for the most part. I mean, on the other hand, I have seen that supply chains break down and they have closeouts and get rid of what they think they can't resupply. I'm living off of that.
Right.
I'm doing a pretty good job on that. But man, I mean, we're talking within 2023, the availability of being able to get those two sacks of groceries, let alone the price of it. Like I said, I don't know how this is going to stay quiet. And instead of having a gunfight over it, there should be organized groups of people saying, we're mad about the prices, and we have a plan on what we're going to do about it, or we're going to start our own chains, or something. And
you know, you see Irish.
That, it's got to be the.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, you're right. You know how those you see those. I'm sorry to interject here. Those jewelry stores where you see those young Antifa-like thugs wearing black. You're smashing the jewelry case, grabbing the jewelry. You'll have people dressed in black ninja outfits going into Kroger and Safeway and elsewhere, grabbing the meat, smashing the meat counter, grabbing the food and the eggs, and then running out the door with those big black hefty bags full of like $2,000 worth of food, $3,000 worth of food. Be 4 or 5 little ninjas running in and running out. It's going to happen. I mean, I can see a lot of these things.
It'll go from
down the pipeline
to a big felony at this point. Yeah, just the price of it's going to force them big time.
Right, and the Von Wien show is going to be there broadcasting live from aisle 5. I mean, I'm joking about it in a way, but I hear a lot of people that are really economically frustrated and they're strapped, and Americans are. They're not keeping up with inflation. They're falling behind. By the way, this fits into our conversation. eBay, another auction site. I love eBay. I'm always on there looking for deals. But you got to undercut them, and you got to find a cheap deal, right? My thing is, people, I've noticed this, just this trend line. People are selling things they bought, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago for pennies on the dollar. I'll give you a great example. Brand new, say, a polo leather jacket, which they bought for $6.95 at the Dillard's department store. They are so strapped for cash. They're selling those beautiful leather jackets for $40-$50. Mint
wow.
condition all day long. Not even 100. I think I've seen a lot of things, shoes. Clothing especially is the first thing people sell because they're trying to be minimalist anyway. Electronic items, CDs and DVDs, they're literally giving them away and they're paying for shipping. They're wanting any revenue they can bring in. But these auction sites are making a mint. I mean, it's amazing what you see on there. It really is. But it ties in with what we're talking about, that I think people are so desperate for cash, they're selling everything in their house and ain't nailed down.
I think it's going to be really bad, too. The ability to get deliveries. I mean, when they start seeing that somebody keeps having boxes out in front of their house because they're afraid to go to the grocery store, that's going to get tagged, too. That's going to be unfortunate.
That's right. Porch pirates.
I expect that.
Are already on the rise. In Phoenix area, porch pirates are notorious for they come around during the mail time, 2 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they will just drive around and look for wanton packages that are begging to be picked up. Yeah.
Interesting way to put that. Begging to be picked up. Hopefully by the right guy.
Somebody.
And around here it's even worse than that. One particular delivery company has a guy, I think, that definitely smokes some serious weed while he's driving. Because there have been times where he's marked that he actually had it delivered. And he tells the company that wanted it delivered here, it's like, yeah, it's done. And then, for example, I can't remember if one, I think one of them even I was supposed to sign for, and he claimed that he delivered it. I'm going like, it didn't get here. And then they realize, oops. And then the guy's out the next day, and instead he just drops it off as fast as he can, not on my front porch, but on the back. Yeah, he didn't want anybody to see him dropping it off. And that happens, too. And if that's the quality of the delivery now, it's going to be really bad when every delivery is going to be that much more important, that much more under the gun. Everybody's watching you, so to speak.
Right.
That's going to get crazy. Ugh. But more
it's going to get crazy and crazier.
And so, for example, I don't know the average American if they really do have the ability, if there's something that they do know that you're a connoisseur of, like, I don't know, something simple like corn chips. Would you be able to know if there's something wrong with your corn chips if they were delivered to you? I mean, a lot of things that we take for granted. We know that we can go to a store or a restaurant or something and know that the quality of what we're getting is good. Well, that's done.
Right.
I mean, the fact that they're getting it just in time, they don't even really know their suppliers anymore anyway, is the way I look at it. I don't think they even know. At this point, they're just trying to stock the shelves or at least make it look like they're stocked. The local grocery store closest to where I live, every once in a while, they run out of stuff, so they grab stuff that's in the back that doesn't run out of time, can't expire, and they'll just fill up half a shelf with some of that for a while until they wait for something to come in. They've already done that 2 or 3 times.
Sure.
Of course, last time I was there, some product ran out. Go ahead.
Oh, I know. It's just amazing, man, and it's going to get worse. We're up against the clock here. We've got to end the show. I sincerely appreciate you, man, all you've done for the show and your call. Man, we have to keep our eyes wide open, folks, and our head on a swivel in the year of the rabbit. you know?
And like I said, those magnets on the meat thing, it's like, that just strikes me. It's like, that was viral and then it disappeared. How did that happen, America?
Oh, they have their way. They have their way.
I was definitely entertained by the teenagers that were showing that off. That's the thing.
They have their way. God.
So
we will talk again, my friend, next week. Go ahead.
We're not going to let what's necessary stop us from at least trying to be ready for what's going down. That's the main thing.
That's right.
We're going to be
ready.
That's all the Bible asked us to do, is take a stand. It didn't say go fight somebody. It didn't say go kill somebody. It said
the
difference between the good and the evil. I'll leave you with this quote. Believe it or not, Charlie Kirk, of all people, was interviewing Tucker Carlson. And he asked Tucker Carlson, so, you know, how do you know if it's going to be a good interview? He says, nowadays, I just have to ask a simple question. Do you believe in God, someone above, or do you think you're God? Which one's closer? He says, that's all I do now. I just ask. I mean, if you could delineate that question, I'll take the answer. I thought that's kind of interesting. And you're talking to a guy who deals a lot with people from Washington, D.C., although he lives in Florida.
Right.
And
of course, they both have their detractors now, too, on the Internet, on social media. But they're still out there. They're sort of like they both have their own shows and whatnot, though I think Tucker's lost a little bit of his edge, but he's still good. Irish, we have to end the show. I appreciate you, man. We'll talk more next week, buddy, okay? Have a great night.
You got it. Good night.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, Irish Pirate. Thank you, sir. Well, another broadcast day at the Valhalla Studios. This show, just so you know, is the Counter Network and the counter show to the largesse you see in the media and the overall media Democrat narrative. They keep pounding into you daily, America, and drilling into your mind or what's left of it. I told you before, this, you need to get prepared and be ready for what's coming, because there's a lot of things that could happen. A lot of shoes could drop in this nation. We hope that they can find a way kicking the can down the road. We always hope and pray for that cooler heads will prevail. But history has proven time and time again that the cooler heads often get voted out of office, and mayhem, chaos, and destruction are the end result. For that, you need a website that I proposed early in the show. It's one that we're developing called SurviveMax.com. Prepping articles. My show podcast is on there, as well as a few others. You can go to SurviveMax.com. It's fledgling, but it's already operational and up. Join your local militia if you feel the urge, or start one. Stay brave out there. Keep your head on a swivel, as I've always said, and be observant of your surroundings, and don't get yourself caught in the crossfire. We thank you all for being here tonight. Godspeed to all as I broadcast from my mountain stronghold. We will see you next week. We believe we will have our VIP guest will be Joe Monsanto of the ICAR Institute in Louisiana. We thank you all for being here. Good night.